So glad to have you with us again today as we go to the Word and look at saying the right things about yourself. Saying the right things about yourself. Out of the blue, this very unusual man named John the Baptist appeared on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and along the banks of the Jordan River. John came preaching a baptism of repentance. He didn't fit into the normal religious group of that day. He wore camel skin with a broad leather belt around his waist. He wasn't arrayed in fine robes and with trumpets going ahead of him, announcing his coming. He was very unusual in the eyes of the Judeans, but they found him very interesting and challenging. And the Bible says that from all the countryside of Jerusalem and all the city of Jerusalem, people came to John and were baptized. They sent priests to ask John who he was. They were intrigued by this strange, unusual man. They said, John, are you Jeremiah? Are you Elijah? Are you one of the prophets? And he kept answering in the negative. And finally, the Jews said, what do you say about yourself? And as I read that phrase, I began to think about you and me. What do we say about ourselves? What do you say to yourself about yourself? You see? They said, John, what do you say about yourself? And then he had to respond in a way that built faith in God. So we want to talk to ourselves about ourselves in ways that keep our faith strong in the Lord. We want to say the right things about ourselves. And if we're going to say the right things about ourselves, we have to accept self-questioning as normal. Whenever these Jews said, John, what do you say about yourself? He did not panic and say, oh, I don't know. John didn't condemn himself and say, oh, I'm just a nobody. No. He had to face the question, just like you and me have to face questions about who we are. Not only from ourselves, these questions not only arise in our own minds, but so often the enemy will attack us, and he'll start questioning us, saying, who are you? Who do you think you are? You see, questions about our identity, about who we are, arise in normal minds. Look at what the devil did in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 3.
The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.
Satan injected a question in Jesus' mind. If you are the Son of God, an attempt to get Jesus to question and even doubt that he was God's Son. Listen to Satan. Same chapter, Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 and 6.
Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down.
If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. So you see, whenever we start questioning God's love for us, whenever we start questioning our worthiness of God's love, then we have to take a stand and know what to say about ourselves. Let's go to Matthew now. Again, we're dealing with Jesus. But now let's go from Matthew 4 to Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Here the scripture says,
about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
You see, in his intense agony and in the great pain, even Jesus started questioning if God was with him. You know why he was questioning God's presence? Because Psalm 22 tells us something more about Jesus as he hung there on the cross. I want you to notice some very important scriptures. Psalm 22, verse 5 and 6.
They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man.
Here, Jesus, as he hung on that cross, said, God, my ancestors, they cried to you and you heard them. They called out for help and you saved them. And then notice what Jesus said about himself. I am a worm and not a man. He was so worn out with hours and hours of sleeplessness and torture and rejection and persecution that he was finding it easy to say, I am a worm and not a man. And the next logical conclusion would be that God has forsaken me. So you see, questions arise in normal minds. So you are not abnormal whenever you start doubting yourself. One more scripture now before we go on. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 53. Here are some Jews talking to Jesus. And notice what they say.
Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?
These Jews said, Jesus, who do you think you are? Sometimes, my sister, you might be tempted to ask yourself the same question. Who do I think I am to expect God to help me, answer my prayer, heal my kids? Who do I think I am? Self-questioning doesn't indicate abnormality. It only indicates our humanity. Every human, the greatest humans, in the eyes of man who've ever lived, have questioned themselves. But they overcome their self-questioning, their self-doubt. You see, brother, sister, the enemy's intention in attacking our identity is to cause us to weaken in our responses to self-questioning. He wants us to respond to self-questioning by saying, well, I guess I'm not important. I guess I failed God. Maybe I'm a great sinner. That's why he hasn't answered my prayer. In fact, I want to show you from the book of Numbers how Satan got God's people to questioning their identity, and they turned back from God's promised land because they didn't believe that they were God's children. Numbers, please, chapter 13, verse number 33.
We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them.
Now notice what it says. The spies who were sent to the promised land, they saw all these giants and these walled, fortified cities and these huge armies. Notice what it says now. Numbers 13:33. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. I grew up thinking that these Jews seem like grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. But it doesn't say that. It says, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Instead of proclaiming that they were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and worthy of all the promises God gave their forefathers, they said, we're nothing but mere insects. Why in the world would God ever give us this great land? Questions about ourselves never weaken us. It's our response to these questions that weaken us. So we must say about ourselves what God says about us. We must be people who accept self-questioning as normal and not become frightened or discouraged or feel inferior whenever we're questioning ourselves. Just say, okay, I'm a true human. My self-questioning proves that I'm a true human, but I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of another, and I'm going to go on with God's will. I'm going to go on with pursuing my dreams. Okay. We want to accept self-questioning as normal, but secondly, we want to welcome God's favorable testimony about ourselves. We want to welcome God's favorable testimony about ourselves. Whenever the Jews asked John, "What do you say about yourself?" he didn't reply and say, "Well, I'm just a good guy who's been living out here in the desert seeking God." No, he didn't reply with his own human ideas. Here's how he replied. They said, "John, what do you say about yourself?" And the scripture says, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 23. He replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet. He quoted God's word and answered their question about his identity. So, brother, sister, whenever you're questioning yourself, reply to yourself in God's word. Scripture records God's favorable testimony about his people. Scripture is the only accurate and reliable way we can find out who we are. Scripture records God's favorable testimony about you and me, and so we should answer our own self-doubts, our own questioning, and the questions others pose to us. We should answer with the Word of God. Now, here's one of my favorite verses in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 22. Notice what it says.
"The Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High."
It refers to God as the Ancient of Days. It says God pronounced judgment in favor. That's the word, the key word. He pronounces judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. So we put our name in there. You are a saint of the Most High. You were adopted by God. You were rescued from the devil's family and placed in God's family. So it says that God pronounced judgment in your favor. So in the scriptures, we find God's favorable testimony about ourselves. Let's read the book of John, chapter 5, verse 32.
"There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid."
Jesus said to the Jews, "There is another person who testifies about me." He's talking about his heavenly Father. He said, "There's another who testifies about me, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. It's reliable. It's trustworthy. God's testimony about me cannot be overwhelmed, cannot be set aside." So, brother, sister, what God says about you is true. What his word declares about you can be taken to the bank. Okay, Psalm 5, verse number 12. Listen to what the scripture says.
"For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield."
You bless us with favor. God blesses us with favor. God is in our favor. If you think that everything is against you, if you think that nothing's in your favor, think again. Everything's in your favor. Don't pay attention to those uncomfortable circumstances. Don't pay attention to that pain. If God is for you, who can be against you? Romans 8, verse 31 declares. Let's go to Psalm 84, verse number 11.
"The Lord bestows favor and honor."
The Lord bestowed on you favor and honor. So in the scriptures, we find God's testimony about us. A testimony is a declaration that proves a fact. So all of these testimonies of God are declaring that it's a fact that he is in your favor, that you are what he says you are. You are not a grasshopper. You are a son of God. You are not a sinner. You are a saint. You are not a failure. You are a success. We believe God's word. But you see, what happens to many of us Christians is that whenever we start doubting ourselves, whenever our mind asks us, what do you say about yourself? We start arguing with our own sinful human nature. We start arguing with our thoughts. Our thought accuses us. Our thought attacks us. Our ideas run us down and ridicule us. And we stand there and try to argue. Or either we agree with what our mind's telling us. But no, we don't want to argue with our own sinful human nature. We simply welcome God's testimony about ourselves. We welcome his testimony. We say God's testimony is true even if I feel the opposite of what he says about me. I love this verse from Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse number 9. Notice what it says.
Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words.
It says, do not speak to a fool. Now, in the book of Proverbs, a fool really is a rebel. A rebel who has set his heart totally against the Lord. So let's read it again, please, Dee.
Do not speak to a fool.
And that your own sinful human nature is a rebel against God. So you'll never win arguments against Satan, against the world, or against your own sinful human nature. You'll never win because they are rebels. They are confirmed rebels and cannot ever be reformed. Okay, it says, do not speak to a fool, for they will despise your arguments. They will despise what you say. So we don't want to argue with our own mind. We simply welcome God's testimony. You should be memorizing scriptures, or at least portions of scripture, which describe you. That's what Jesus did when Satan said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus didn't argue with him. Jesus simply said, man will not live by bread alone, because it is written. You see, Jesus went directly to the Word of God. He went to the testimony of his Father. And he said, Satan, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, so your suggestion is absolutely ridiculous. And you'll find, brother, sister, those arguments in your mind which are attempting to diminish you, to make you think less of yourself, those arguments contradict the Word of God. So quote the Word. Memorize it. I recall one time in our early marriage, I became disheartened. And one day I said to Dolores, I'm an incompetent idiot. What a stupid thing to say about yourself, but I was so down in the dumps that day, it's exactly what I was feeling about myself. You know what the Lord said to me? She said, where does it say that in the Word? Immediately, I was nailed. My wife had spoken for the Lord and reminded me, you cannot win arguments against the devil, against the world, or against sinful human nature. You have to agree with God's testimony. We don't need man's testimony about man. In fact, I want us to read from John chapter 2, verse 25. Notice what it says.
He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man.
Jesus did not need man's testimony about man. We need God's testimony about man. Man's testimony about himself, man's observations about himself are always wrong because they originate in man. But all testimony that originates in God is true. Whenever we go to the Word, we hear the truth because God is truth. He doesn't contain the truth. He is the very embodiment of truth. And so Jesus did not need man's testimony about man. He knew what was in a man because he knew the Word. So, brother, sister, we need God's testimony about his children. It's all we need. If you want to say the right things about yourself, go to the Word. Let's read Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. Here's how God feels about you.
The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
Here it says, God's testimony. It's all recorded. It says God takes great delight in you. It says he rejoices over you with singing. So, brother, sister, listen to what the Word says. Your God is rejoicing over you with singing. You are the source of his song. You put a song in his heart and a smile on his lips. And so, whenever we think anything contrary to Zephaniah 3:17, we are thinking incorrectly. And we're going to think wrong things about ourselves, and we're going to say wrong things about ourselves. In fact, in this same book, D, if you'll find Zephaniah chapter number 3, verse number 11, I want to show you how this little phrase from Zephaniah 3:11 helped me, and I believe it will help you as well, my brother and my sister. Here, the Lord is speaking about us again, and notice this beautiful, beautiful statement, Zephaniah 3, verse number 11, the first part of the verse.
On that day, you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me.
Did you hear that? On that day of judgment, you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me. I was recently regretting some of the things I've done in my past, not necessarily even sin, but just some foolish things or things that didn't seem so wise. And the Lord brought this verse to my memory. You will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me. Immediately I accepted that testimony, that word of the Lord, and I quit accusing myself, criticizing myself. You see, if God said anything about you, you can say the same thing about yourself. Whatever God said about you, you can say about yourself. Everything God says about you, you are eligible to say about yourself. So we must go to the Word. We must become people of the Word. We must read the Word. Study the Word. Brother, sister, don't become discouraged in your daily Bible reading. Don't give up. Don't be disheartened. You can take a passage of Scripture that seems so out of place, a passage of Scripture that says nothing about you, and later on, that verse can leap off the page or leap up in your memory and give you help. For example, I've read the book of Isaiah for years. And I read Isaiah through and I see a lot of verses that talk about King Cyrus. King Cyrus was instrumental in rebuilding the temple of Jerusalem. The temple built under the help of Nehemiah and Zerubbabel. The temple built about 400 or 500 years before Jesus' birth These verses about Cyrus, I would read them and they would say nothing to me. But one day, as I read one of these verses about Cyrus, it's Isaiah 44:28. One phrase of that verse came alive because it's God's testimony about me as a minister of the gospel, about pastors and missionaries. This one little phrase says, "He is my shepherd." Now, I know it's talking about Cyrus, but it can apply to everyone in the ministry. Sunday school teachers, youth leaders. It says, "He is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please." So we can put in there, Sunday school teacher is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please. Youth leader, associate pastor, senior pastor, janitor, is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please. That's God's testimony. So you see, as you read and reread these passages of Scripture that seem to have nothing to do with you, you will eventually find that they are contained testimonies that apply to your everyday life. So, brother, sister, we want to say the right things about ourselves by welcoming God's testimony about us and by accepting self-questioning as normal. Let's go to the Lord Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for giving us the Bible, the most accurate testimony in the universe, completely accurate in its descriptions of how you feel about us, in its descriptions of what we are and what you intend for us to accomplish. God, the Bible tells us why we are on the earth. So Jesus, take your word and your spirit and fortify us, God, with the word of God so that we can reply to self-questioning in the words of the Lord, not arguing with sinful human nature, not arguing with our friends or even our enemies who accuse us of this or that. But God, we're going to stand on your word. We're not going to condemn ourselves for self-questioning or self-criticism. We're going to believe you, God, for the best. We love you and thank you, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen.